You're listening to the Whole Hog Sports Podcast. And now, here's your host, Matt Jones.
Happy Tuesday, everyone. This is Ethan Westerman filling in today for Matt Jones again. Joined again by Anthony Christensen, day two in a row. We might go for the trifecta tomorrow.
The hat trick.
We've got a big basketball game tonight. Arkansas is hosting Vanderbilt in the top 20 game, number 15 Vanderbilt, number 20 Arkansas. It's a pivotal game. I think 3-3 feels a whole lot different than 4-2, especially when it's part of, you know, a losing streak. Whoever loses this game, it will be a streak. Vanderbilt's already on one. Mm-hmm. For Arkansas, it would make it a 2-game losing streak. For Vanderbilt, 3. So I'd say it's a pretty pivotal game tonight.
Yeah, no, for sure. It definitely is. I think both teams are coming in, you know, kind of, I don't want to say desperate, because that kind of feels like an overused term, but both teams are definitely looking to kind of get off of a skid. Arkansas's lost 2 of 3. Vanderbilt's lost 2 in a row. So, yeah, it's an interesting one for sure. They're similar, like not necessarily a 1-to-1 comparison, but they're similar teams just in the way they're built and the way they play. And it'll be fun. It'll be two teams that need a win. need to kind of get off the skid, if you will.
At least as far as rankings are concerned, it's the biggest game in the nation today. You know, as far as there's not another, you know, ranked unranked matchup. I guess all eyes will be on Bud Walton for this one.
All eyes that can stay open. 8 p.m. tip.
You're right.
Are you kidding me?
You're very right on that. They get hard for, at least for me, if I'm sitting at home watching. I mean, if it's a ranked game like this one, it might provide more intrigue than, you know, your random, like, Mississippi State at LSU at 8 p.m. on SEC Network or something. Those are the real snoozers. But I mean, these 8 p.m. tip-offs sometimes can get hard to stay up in the middle of the work
week. Yeah, we're beholden to the networks.
But I mean, big one tonight. I want to ask you, because I mean, for those who have not paid enough attention on this show to Anthony, he is about as big of a college hoops junkie as I know of, to where, like, he knew about Mark Byington in depth while he was at JMU. Like, he didn't have to wait till he got to Vanderbilt to know about Mark Byington. But now that Vanderbilt
the
is...
The experience.
You're all the about the mid-major experience, these coaches. Like, I mentioned some team, Columbia, and you were like, oh, coach. And I was like, I don't know who you're talking about.
Oh, come on, you don't...
But anyway... We're not going to chase that rabbit.
He doesn't know Kevin Hovde.
We're not going to...
Come on.
Hovde. We're not going to chase the Hovde rabbit.
He was on Florida staff last year.
Oh, okay. So
national champion right there. That's, you're disrespecting him.
That's what I'm saying. Anthony's full of little just good nuggets about...
The Columbia team could win the Ivy, too.
We're not gonna chase this rabbit, though. We are going to chase the Vanderbilt one. Now that they're in
tricky.
Year two...
Yale's probably the favorite, though.
Okay. Now that they're in year two under Mark Byington, you know, what's there to know about Vanderbilt for the casual who has not watched Vanderbilt this year and maybe has just paid attention to their ranking?
Yeah, I mean they're good. I think they're every bit as good as advertised. I know a lot of people, you know, look at, you know, the schedule and say, oh, they haven't played all that many top 25 teams. So you look at it. I mean, they've beaten. Let me just count real quick. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 9 top 100 teams. If you look at the KenPom net ratings, and that I believe is still the most of any team in the SEC. So Vanderbilt is as good as advertised, and some of those wins are coming away from home. They went to UCF and won there, and UCF it's a tough place to play. I know not a lot of people, you know, think about UCF as being this elite road environment, but I mean you're very susceptible to go there and lose it. Like Kansas just did it. Arizona had some fits down there, and Arizona is obviously number one in the country right now. And yeah, UCF picks off some teams at home from time to time, and you know that's a team that looks like it's going to make the tournament, or it's at least in the picture, and was just in the top 25 as well. So yeah, it's a team that went to Memphis, that went to Wake Forest. You know, neither of those teams project to be tournament teams, but they still go and win in true road environments, which a lot of teams in non-conference play don't really do. But yeah, Vanderbilt just kind of in general, really they like to play at pace. You know, they're fast. They like to get downhill and all of that. They've got the number 4 offense in the country, and you know, when you watch them, I mean, they can hurt you in every single way. they're great from the 3-point line. They're good at getting to the basket. They're good free throw shooting team, and they can shoot in the mid range when needed. You know, they don't turn the ball over a ton. Like they're the number one non steal, or they don't get the ball stolen. They're good. They're good. They take a lot of 3-pointers, but then they're also good at getting to the basket. They're good at, you know, getting to the free throw line. They're good at defending without fouling as well. You know, they get fouled a decent bit. You know, they've been involved in some high free throw games lately, but you know, they're good. They defend well, number 22 defense in the country. And they force you into bad shots. I mean, a lot of the shots that they force teams into are kind of these contested mid-range shots that, you know, aren't the most analytically advantageous, if that makes sense. You know, which Arkansas is good at taking a lot of those shots, especially, you know, Darius Acuff has been really good in those areas. But, you know, you still prefer to get to the basket. You still prefer to get to the free throw line. So Vanderbilt is good. Like, that's the, you know, long story short. I mean, they very easily could have beaten Florida. Probably should have gotten the opportunity with a hook and hold that wasn't called to you know, get, you know, another look, and only lost that game by 4 points. And you kind of got worked by Texas. So one of the things that you're concerned about with Vanderbilt is, you know, when they play against some of these bigger, longer athletic teams, you know, can they compete physically? And, you know, against Texas, it didn't really look like it could. But then against Florida, with, you know, arguably the best front court in the country and a team that's really started to turn it around and, you know, is you know, atop of the SEC right now and, you know, tied with Texas A&M on record. But I think, you know, you look at Florida and you're more impressed with Florida's body of work. No disrespect to Texas A&M, because I think Bucky McMillan's done a really good job in year one there. But, yeah, Vanderbilt could easily be right there with Florida at the top of the SEC, and yeah, it'll be a fun game for all those reasons.
It's funny you mentioned the struggling against maybe athletic long teams, because I remember I watched their game against Memphis as well, mm-hmm. which Arkansas is familiar with Memphis because of that exhibition. That's a team that's athletic and likes to junk things up. Mm-hmm. They struggled in that one too. Obviously, you know, it's hard to play Memphis on the that was a true
yeah,
road
it was
game.
A true road game. Yeah,
so I mean, kudos to Vandy for even playing, you know, true road games in the non-conference against a team like
yeah,
Memphis.
Yeah, and the shots in that game weren't really falling either. So to yeah,
but it does seem like there's something there. If Arkansas can use its athleticism,
yeah,
it's going to be key, I would think. Mm-hmm. And you can't talk about Vandy without talking from the top about Tyler Tanner.
That guy's awesome.
I was about to say, what's made him so great this year, other than like what we say with Darius Acuff, other than like everything?
I mean, you look at the year to year just improvements that he made. I mean, last year for Vanderbilt, he was coming off the bench and he was an effective bench player for Vanderbilt, kind of in this like a 6-man role. You know, really good on ball defender, a guy you put in to guard the opposing team's point guard and cause issues there. But, you know, his shooting wasn't great. You know, he was good at getting to the basket and finishing around there, but you know, he was a 26% 3-point shooter last year. And, you know, he didn't get to the line all that much, but he was a good finisher. You look this year, you know, his minutes have increased from 50% of the minutes to 75% of the minutes. You know, his 3-point percentage has jumped 13% to 39% from the 3-point line. You know, his numbers have gone down just from 2-point percentage, but that's not a concern I have with them. You know, his assist numbers, his assist numbers are way up. His turnover numbers are a little bit up, but that's because just I think with the higher volume, the, you know, more minutes, more time with the ball in his hands, I think that's going to happen. But you look at, you know, he still doesn't turn the ball over a lot. It's kind of what I'm saying. He gets to the line a lot more. You know, he's shooting 87% from the free throw line, and you know he doesn't foul a ton, especially when, you know, in SEC play. You know, his fouls committed per 40 is just 2.3, which is you know, really good for a guy who's playing as much as he is. And you know, he gets fouled a decent chunk, which he didn't last year. So you can see the year by year progression. And, you know, he's an effective ball handler and he's getting the ball over to, you know, be it Tyler Harris or Devin McLaughlin or Tyler Nickel, whoever it needs to be. And yeah, he's been phenomenal. Like, he's, if the season ended right now, he would be one of the probably first team as all SEC players, just because of how good he's been, how effective he's been. And, you know, this is a guy who, you know, he's listed at 6 foot. He's probably only just a little bit taller than I am at 5'9", but, yeah. You know, he's just, he's phenomenal. He gets downhill, he plays at pace. And, you know, for a team that plays the style and with the pace that Vanderbilt does, it's hard to imagine a better fit to be that floor general than what Tyler Tanner has been this season. He's been phenomenal, and you know, he's a ton of fun to watch.
Yeah, it's an elite guard matchup tonight between mm-hmm. Darius Acuff and him. Acuff obviously leads the SEC in assists. Tyler Tanner is number three with 5.2 per game. They're both top 10 scorers in the SEC. That should be a treat tonight, especially, you know, just at the point guard spot.
Oh, yeah, no, for sure. I mean, you know, Darius Acuff is obviously the better professional prospect, I think. I don't think anybody's going to come at me and say that's a controversial statement, but you know, both of them are awesome college basketball players, and you know, it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. I mean, both those guys are, you know, they're good on ball defenders. You know, neither of them are going to be the greatest shot disruptors in the world, but you know, both of them can, you know, they've got active hands, they can get their hands in and steal and all that. And you know, it'll be a lot of fun. You know, it's those two guys, you know, they're both, you know, elite floor generals. They're both guys who can find shots for teammates, create space for themselves to get a shot, drive, you know, basically do whatever you need them to do. So it'll be that. Yeah, that'll be a lot of fun.
You know, obviously, whenever you look at the Arkansas roster, anybody who watched last season too, you see a lot of familiar names. But you know, if you watch Arkansas this year, it's a totally different team than last year. Like, I mean, last year defense was kind of their calling card. Mm-hmm. This year, it's the scoring. I mean, it's roster continuity doesn't always mean, you know, the same team.
Yeah.
You look at Vanderbilt, and I do the same thing. I'm looking at the roster. I'm like, man, I recognize a lot of these names. Mm-hmm. But I heard last night on Coach Cal's radio show, this was kind of brought up how, yeah, maybe take a few things from last year's scouting report, but you can throw a lot of that away, he mm-hmm. said, just because of how they play this year. What's maybe a little bit different about them this go-round?
I think the main thing I look at is the addition of Duke Miles. You know, coming over from Oklahoma, he was a big reason why Oklahoma was an NCAA tournament team last season. And, you know, he just kind of he gives them another option. Obviously, he missed a couple of games. I believe he missed South Carolina and New Haven. So, you know, those teams stink. No disrespect to South Carolina, who is at the bottom of the SEC, and New Haven, which is in its first year of Division I basketball. But I just think, you know, the addition of Tyler or Duke Miles, you know, has been a really big piece of what Vanderbilt wants to do and why Vanderbilt is able to play at the pace it is. You know, he's a guy who gets to the line a decent bit. You know, he's, you know, almost a 90% free throw shooter. Not quite there, but, you know, he's right around it just for the season. And, you know, he's a really active defender. So part of the reason why Vanderbilt is the defensive team that it is this season, and, you know, is vastly improved on that side of the ball, I think, is because of Duke Miles and just how active he is and how, you know, he's effective in switching and all of those different areas. So he's kind of like a secondary ball handler too. I know he starts, you know, alongside Tyler Tanner, but you know, when you have, you know, multiple guys who can handle the ball and score with at the rate that those guys do, you know, I think that's going to be a, you know, obviously a big boost to any team.
Want to tell you about our friends at Bentonville Glass. Serving its community since 1971, Bentonville Glass is committed, professional, and versatile. Looking for a quality leader in Northwest Arkansas? Looking for skilled craftsmanship? Choose Bentonville Glass for all your glass market needs with the highest quality products. You can come by and see them today at 507 South Main in Bentonville or online at bentonvilleglass.com. Since we're on the topic of Vanderbilt, I just got to mention, I was, you know, watching the college football playoff national championship last night.
Go Hoosiers!
I mean, that was like an electric game.
Proud former Indiana resident.
Yeah, I just kept the TV on, like, to watch all the post-game stuff for a couple hours after mm-hmm. it. And it stood out to me, Kirk Herbstreit, after the game, was in the booth, and he made the statement, like, don't think this is a one-hit wonder. Indiana's not going away. Miami's not going away. And then he mentioned, he said, I mean, out of left field, like, these two teams just played. He said, and I don't think Vanderbilt's going away. But I think that that's just kind of something that we've all, you know, felt within the past 2 years across the board in sports. It feels like Vanderbilt has really elevated itself. It's always been good at baseball. The football team under Clark Lea has really grown. Men's basketball, you look at them now, and we've been talking all year about how they're an SEC real contender to win it. They're very highly ranked. Women's basketball yesterday, they're ranked fifth in the nation, and they beat Michigan on a neutral court. And they played at where Arkansas played Houston. Prudential Center?
Yeah, Newark.
They played them at the Prudential Center and won a top 10 game, so they're going to be ranked probably like third or fourth come the next bowl. It's like Vandy across the board and their sports are putting together like a portfolio of just really elite teams right now. Mm-hmm. It's been kind of interesting to watch because, you know, Vandy for the longest time was kind of the SEC's, I don't want to say laughing stock, but they were. I mean, people wanted to, like, if you wanted a comparison of, like, what's the bad thing to compare to, it was always like, oh, well, look at what Vanderbilt's done. But you really can't do that with anything right now. It's not too long ago. I remember Vandy went winless in the SEC, maybe 2018-19 season.
Yeah, so it's when Bryce Drew was there. Now he's obviously at Grand Canyon. Yeah. He's doing a good job there.
But Vandy,
but yeah, they did go winless. And
Vandy has risen from the ashes in a lot of these sports. Their women's basketball team, because I cover that heavily as women's, they were really good.
Ralph's doing a really good job.
She's so good. And then their baseball's the one thing that we've always been like, all right, the Vandy boys, they're good. But you look at Vanderbilt right now, and I'm like, my goodness, they're really positioning. Like, can you argue there's a team in the major sports in the SEC that's had a more like complete
like turnaround? Yeah,
or just like. Like in the past year, like all their teams are like find another one that has a higher like ranking average, I guess. It's like Alabama's obviously good football and men's basketball. There's a few others, but Vandy has really been in the past year
really good.
Really good at everything. So I guess this is just me taking my moment to say congratulations to the Commodores because they've really got a pretty, you know, solid department right now.
And Candace Story Lee is the athletics director there. She's done just, I think, a phenomenal job. Just,
Yeah,
well, she's done a great job.
Anyway, you know, this Vanderbilt basketball team, I guess what's been, in your eyes, seeing the transformation of it, been like, obviously, you got the coaching change, but like, what's been able to make it come together the way that it has?
Yeah, I mean, first, obviously, you mentioned it. Mark Byington, I think, is just outstanding, and you know, he's one of your favorite coaches. Like, he's awesome. I mean, you talk to anybody just kind of in the coaching industry, and you know, obviously, I've got friends in the coaching industry. I could text somebody and be like, "What do you think of Mark Byington?" And just anybody you would ask that question to, and they'd be like, "Oh, he's awesome." Just like he's always like just out there still trying to learn more things and trying to adapt and build upon what he has. And he's one of my favorite coaches in the country. I think he's just spectacular. But yeah, so you start there, but then, you know, obviously Vanderbilt is, you know, you look at the modern landscape of college athletics and you have to, you know, be positioned well to do that. And I think that starts obviously with the athletics department. Like we mentioned, Candace Story Lee has done a great job as the athletics director there, and she's just done a great job. And then, you know, some of that comes down to, you know, being able to, you know, compete on the financial end of things, which obviously we don't have, you know, contracts or anything that we can just look at and be like, hey, like Vanderbilt is paying Diego Pavia X, Y, and Z.
Private. Yeah.
Well, that and you know, it's.
Well, we don't get that for anybody, but especially Vanderbilt, you don't FOIA this stuff.
Yeah. So, but I mean, Vanderbilt is, you know, it's a prestigious university, and you know, has, I'm sure, a lot of, you know, great donors who can help, I guess, sustain that, which is a huge deal in modern college athletics, and
It feels to me like they've taken the Stanford blueprint of like you offer yourself as a really prestigious university to go to, but you're compete like these are your smart, really good athletes, and oh, by the way, you want to live in Nashville?
Yeah, that was gonna be my next point. Also, is the Nashville aspect?
They have a new dining hall that I only know this because on TikTok. I have like the athletics dining. It is so nice.
I wish I had a video about the athletics dining hall.
CJ Brown.
I'll be absolutely clear. I have no knowledge of the athletics dining hall.
CJ Brown, the receiver for Arkansas football team, his sister Jada Brown plays for Vanderbilt's women. And I guess she's like TikTok famous or something, but I don't really know the TikTok lingo, but they played a, like, they were mentioning it on the broadcast on Arkansas played them, how she's like a basketball, like, influencer kind of on TikTok. So I went to go look at it, and she had like all these walkthroughs of their dining hall. I was like, oh my goodness, Vandy, if I'm a recruit and I see this dining hall alone, which I love some good food.
I love a meal.
Yeah, so
I'm kind of like intermittent fasting the moment. Like I'm starving.
Well,
but
all I was gonna say is this dining hall is the dining hall of your dreams. But anyway, Vandy.
Yeah.
Back to Vandy.
Facilities are great.
The facilities are nice. They've got a really unique. I feel like, yeah, they have a real unique offering compared to other SEC schools of what you offer there. And they're going to attract really, like, you know, academic students who are also the top of the academic poll or the top of the athletic and academic poll. Like, you get the best of both worlds there.
Yeah. No, and yeah, I mean, it's all a credit just to kind of how everything's just kind of come together there. And, you know, it's a credit to, you know, Candace Story Lee, the athletics director. It's a credit to Mark Byington, Shea Ralph, Lee Clark Lee, and, you know, all of the coaches there who've, you know, really kind of embraced the modern landscape and, you know, have obviously not just done that, but, you know, coached and recruited really well and built really strong rosters. And, you know, then you add on Nashville and the facilities that they've got. I mean, you know, I love Memorial Gymnasium. I love how unique it is. You know, it used to be like a stage for it used to be like an auditorium for like plays and stuff. And now it's a basketball arena, and I love how unique it is. And, you know, but you walk around and it's like connected to the football and baseball facilities and all of that. So I Vanderbilt is doing a lot of things really well. And I think it serves as an example for, you know, and obviously it's not going to be one-to-one, right? I mean, not everybody's going to have the endowment Vanderbilt has, or, you know, the allure of being in a big city as well. But
it's like Dixon isn't quite Broadway.
but yeah, no, I mean, Vanderbilt has done a really nice job of, you know, taking everything in stride and, you know, being, I guess, flexible with how things have kind of shifted in modern athletics, modern college athletics, I should say.
Yeah. Pivoting to tonight's game again, Arkansas-Vanderbilt. I mean, we've talked at length about how this Arkansas team is kind of searching for, you know, consistency, and I don't think we'll really get that, like, the answer until we see what they do on the road, too, but they've been really good at home. We've talked about how, you know, obviously the Louisville game was in Bud Walton, electric crowd. They put on a good show. They beat Tennessee at home. The last time they were at home against South Carolina, that was as lopsided of as a conference game as I feel like I've seen.
You didn't cover the 2022 Evansville Purple Aces.
I was about to say I was talking in respect to Arkansas as far
I
as
know, I know, I know.
But they Arkansas's played well at home. They haven't played well on the road. So we won't get all the answers until the next time, you know, until we see more of road performances. But I mean, you gotta the key to success, I feel like, in any conference is take care of your home court first. Like, that's where you start. They have a real good chance to do that tonight against a Vanderbilt team that is obviously a resume booster. I mean, this is going to be a quad one win for Arkansas. I don't see it not being one the whole year, because I think you have to drop below 30. And Vanderbilt's a metrics darling. If you look at like the net and probably KenPom and all that, they're very high up. So this would be a very quality win for Arkansas. What are the keys for them to win this game?
Well, I think first and foremost, you need to have Darius Acuff play like Darius Acuff plays. I mean, it's just kind of, all right, like you know, he's very steady. He's very consistent. So, you know, what you get is what you probably are going to get just night in, night out, 20 points, 7-8 assists. Like, he's great. But, I mean, I think that matchup between him and Tyler Tanner is going to be, you know, probably one of the deciding factors, right? The other one that I think from an Arkansas perspective is ball handling, ball security. You know, Arkansas turned the ball over, I believe it was 18 times against Georgia, if I'm not mistaken. You know, I don't have the stats right in front of me, but they gave up 29 points off turnovers, which, you know, you do that against Vanderbilt, and it's going to be like Georgia. It's just not going to work. So I think those are two factors. And then I think you have to have your front court kind of show up. You know, Vanderbilt, like we mentioned, has struggled against, you know, some of the more, you know, longer, more athletic teams. And obviously Arkansas has some of that at its disposal, be that Trevin Brazil or Malik Ewan or Nick Pringle. I think you need those guys to show up and play really well in the defensive end and disrupt shots and really kind of force Vanderbilt into kind of these lower percentage opportunities. And yeah, I think those are the big three, if you will, is the Acuff Tanner matchup is and ball security, and then having the athleticism kind of come through.
Yeah, I was listening, to the radio show last night, and it was Chin Coleman on there, who spearheads a lot of their defensive stuff, and he was the first one to say, he's like, I am not pleased with where we're at defensively. I would have to think that this is a game that you've got to play some pretty good defense if you want a chance to beat Vanderbilt. They're a high-scoring team.
Yeah, so absolutely. I think they're the number 10 scoring offense in the country. Just offensive efficiency, they're number 4. They don't give the ball away. They don't get shots blocked all that often. They get to the line. They're good getting to the basket. They're good from the three-point line. So, there's so many different ways that they can hurt you that you have to have a very solid defensive game plan going into a game like this. And I don't know how much you can take from Texas and the win Texas had over Vanderbilt, but Texas held Vanderbilt to a season low 64 points. Some of that's probably, Vanderbilt having an off shooting night, but also, like we mentioned, Texas's length, athleticism kind of caused Vanderbilt some issues. So how much can you take from that Texas game? I'm sure they've obviously looked at it. So, yeah. Defense is going to be a very important thing for Arkansas tonight and throughout the rest of the season. Obviously, Arkansas, the defense is not what it was last year, at least so far. Last year, I think they finished number 18 in defensive efficiency, and right now they're number 63. So that is, something that is going to be big for sure.
Well, we will have a lot of coverage from that game tonight at wholehogsports.com. Hope you'll check out all of our work there, and we'll be back with another show tomorrow.